But she didn't realize who she was talking to. My friend, he is the resurrection. He is the life giver. And I thank God that he gave me life abundantly. Does that mean it's going to still not have no hurt, no heartache? I wish I could stand here this morning and tell you, yeah, but I would be lying to you. But we find in Word of God that he tells us sometimes we just have to wait. Wait upon the Lord. And a lot of times it's not easy. But we know, my friend, that he's about on time. And every situation in our life, and every situation God's moved in our lives, you can look at it and look what you went through and look and say, God, you were right on time. Because he is. He's right on time. You find your text this morning in Hebrews chapter 10. And I'll be reading verses 21 through 25. And y'all pray for me. Like I said, I asked the state overseer, you know, if he would have somebody. And he told us he could get someone. But till I hear from him or whatever, I guess you're stuck with me. I do that. I apologize. But I'm here trying to do God's work. Just as you are here this morning, you show a great representation of your church. Even though our pastor that we had formerly here is not here, you came and you're supporting your church. That's where it's at, to support your church, my friend, to hold on. We find in Hebrews, if you would stand, please, let's read the Word of God together. We will read it this morning. Paul saying in Hebrews, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our body washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For he is faithful, that promise. And let us consider one another to provoke into love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Heavenly Father, I come to you, Lord. I ask God that you will touch us this morning. May thy servant, God, touch our ears, Lord. Use us this morning, God, and touch each and every one here this morning, God, to hear your word. Father, I give you the praise, the glory, and the honor for all things. And I ask, Lord, that you sanctify and, Lord, bless this message in the name of Jesus. We pray. Amen. A simple title, if I was to put a title to it, is to hold fast. Hold fast to the profession of your faith. My friend, we live in a time when faith on an every day-to-day basis is tried to, we just seem like we can't hold on much longer. But what the Word tells us this morning to do is to hold on, to hold fast. That's the message to the church this morning in this trying time that we live in. We find a nation that I have never seen this nation, and I'm not preaching to you doom and gloom, but I'm telling you the facts. We are living in a time that I've never seen a nation so divided in issues. But my friend, we as a body of believers, we need to hold on to God. And it said, as you see, forsake not, forsaking the assembling of yourself. In other words, we need to come together even more when we see those days approaching. Well, hello, those days are approaching. They ain't only approaching. I believe those days are upon us. I believe we live in a time that where we need to hold fast to the profession of our faith. We find in St. Mark chapter 5, verses 27, 5, We find in 24 through 30, a very familiar scriptures. I'm just going to paraphrase a few of them, and then we will talk. We very well know the issue with a woman with an issue of blood. This woman tried everything she could do, went to every doctor. It's telling me in the Word that it was 12 years that she had done all this and trying to find a cure for the situation in her body. She had spent all her money, all her physical things that she could possibly do. She didn't know of any other thing that she could do. But no doubt she heard about one called Jesus and the healing virtue that he had. And you know how people like to talk, especially when someone's been healed, they need to say, "Praise God, he healed me. He touched me." That's the reason testimonies are good in church. They encourage, they uplift, they exhort. They tell someone, and a lot of times a testimony that God is laying on your heart, someone 9 times out of 10 is sitting right in that sanctuary with you going through the same thing that you just went out of. And that's the reason God puts testimonies on our hearts, to encourage and to exhort, like we're talking about, to love and to exhort God's word. But we find that in the situation, and I can relate to this a little bit, just to share a little thing that happened to me in my life several years ago. I was, believe it or not, I'm not trying to be comical or nothing, but I was sitting in the bathtub taking a tub bath, and all of a sudden it felt like I just kind of passed out a little bit. I came to, and the water was so black, of dark looking red, that I didn't really know what happened. And I didn't really tell Trish a whole lot about what was going on, but she said, "Well, that's not normal. You need to go to a doctor. You know how men are. It'll be all right." I waited 3 days later, and on a Wednesday night, I told Trish my strength was kept getting weaker and weaker and weaker. My friend, you lose the blood in your body. You get weaker and weaker and weaker. But I'm telling you something else. If you lose the blood that is in your spiritual life, you're going to go a lot farther weaker than you are in your physical body. Hold on to the blood of Jesus Christ. As I went to the doctor, and they told me, "You need to go right now in an ambulance. We're going to transfer you to the hospital." Me being stubborn as is, I drove down here. I'll drive myself to the doctor. Thank you. We don't recommend that. They told me where to go, and I got in the car and drove to the doctor of the hospital, and they took me in, and that doctor's office called just as soon as I got there to make sure that this old boy made it to the doctor's office. But I laid there for 2 days. They gave me 2 units of blood, and it took me 3 to 4 weeks to get my strength back. The reason I'm saying that is because I can relate. Not quite as 12 years like this woman with an issue of blood was, but I can relate to losing blood and seeing how weak you get. But said, when she had heard of Jesus in verse 27, came to the press behind him and touched his garment. Now, why did it say come to the press behind him? I believe that it was not an easy task to get to the hem of Jesus' garment. There were so many people around them that she held fast to knowing what she needed to do, knowing where she needed to go, and knowing what she needed to touch. She went and pressed through the crowd, pushing, probably pulling, and all the weakness that's still in her body. But my friend had said when she reached and just grabbed the hem, I believe it was at the very farthest stretch she could do, the very most effort that she could give, that the hem of Jesus' garment fell right between her fingers, and she grasped it. And then Mark said, "In straightway, the fountain of her blood was dried up." Mark used his favorite word of his, it's 27 times. And it means that straightway Christ rapidly cured her. Just as soon as she grabbed the hem of his garment, that issue of blood, my friend, was dried up. Gone away. She felt the healing virtue come through her body. Now here's a good part. Jesus stopped. Everybody all around him. The disciples probably trying to be like social security people, trying to hold them back off of Jesus. So back up a little bit. Back up a little bit. You know, I can sure see them going through the crowd, trying to keep him from thronging up on Jesus because everybody was wanting to get to Jesus. But then he stopped dead step and said, "Someone touched me." Now here's Peter. "Lord, what do you mean? Look around you. Look what you've said. Somebody touched me? Hello? Huh? There are people all around me. How are you going to know that, sure, somebody touched you? Everybody wanted to touch you." But he said, "No, I feel the healing virtue go from my body." As he looked around, I can see in my childlike mind that his eyes fastened upon her eyes. And she knew that she was the one that got the healing virtue. Why? Because she felt the virtue flow through her body. Said she ran and fell at his feet. And he told her, "Thy faith has made thee whole." That's what I'm telling you this morning. It's our faith. Let us hold fast to the profession of our faith. Satan so many times tries to come against our faith. So many times he tries to come against us. As we read in the early part of chapter 10, and you can go back and read it later on. "But after this, there was one sacrifice." But this man, meaning Jesus, "after he had offered one sacrifice for sin, ever sat down on the right hand of God. From henceforth, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he had perfected forever them that are sanctified. Where the Holy Ghost shall witness to us, for after that he had said before, 'This is the covenant that I will make with them after them day, those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law into their hearts, in their minds will I write them, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more.'" Let me read that one more time. I don't think y'all kind of got a grasp of that. Woo! Hallelujah. Our sins no more to be remembered. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. My friend, Satan tries to bring your sins that you used to do back before you so many times. He will wear you down and wear you out if you let him. But if we hold fast to the profession of our faith and say, "My sins are forgiven. There are no more to be held back. No more to hold me in bondage. No more to keep me under the tyranny of fear that this world can have to offer. For my friend, my sins are forgiven." Now we read also there where it said the priest every year would bring their sacrifices and give their sacrifices unto the Lord. Said, "But those sacrifices was not sufficient." Didn't do the job. Now let me tell you, let me break it down for you. Old Testament, New Testament. Old Testament, they were looking for the redemption of the blood of Jesus Christ. Even though the priest still made the offerings, they were looking forward to one of these days of Messiah coming and shedding his blood for the remission of our sins. Whereas we now, we're looking back to the cross and our sins are already forgiven us. All we've got to do is ask Jesus Christ to come into our life and, "Lord, forgive me of my sins." My sins, the price has already been paid. There's nothing this old boy can do other than falling at an altar prayer and saying, "Lord, forgive me of my sins. I have done wrong." And he's just and faithful to forgive us of our sins. Hold fast to the profession of our faith. What is your faith this morning? Where is your faith at? Is it in your bank account? Is it in your status in society? Or is it in the blood of Jesus Christ, my friend? I pray that each and every one answers us and said it's in the blood and through him by the blood of Jesus Christ and through him only do I have profession of faith. Well, I don't know about you, but I can only preach to myself a lot of times. I know a lot of times Satan will come against me. I've done things in my life that I'm not proud of. I've said things that I shouldn't say. A lot of times it's hard to get this big old foot of mine out of my mouth. But each and every one of you know that I try to do what I can do. That don't mean I'm not going to make a mistake. I wish it did. But as long as I'm in this human flesh, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to make mistakes. And I'm going to pop each and every one of yours bubble this morning. You're going to do the same thing. As long as you're in this flesh, you're going to make mistakes. Hello? But it's through and by the blood of Jesus Christ that we can come to him and say, Lord, forgive me of my sins. Amen? He will forgive you. If you think on these things, even though we're going through trying times, that lightens the load. That lifts the burden. And regardless what this world has to throw against us, regardless what this world is doing, my friend, we are on the winning side. We've read Revelations and we know the outcome. My question to you, if he come today, are you holding fast to his profession? Are you holding fast to your profession of faith? Is your faith holding on? Brother Jeff, my faith wavers. Yes, it does. But we need to hold on to the Word of God and believe that Jesus Christ died for each and every one of us. Satan would like to tell you there's no way out. Satan would like to hinder you and keep you from coming to church. He even tries to do a disease and how else other way than other than what Satan has brought against this country, a disease to keep people from coming to church. Well, I said it keeps them from coming to church, but I don't know if it keeps them from going to Walmart. Oh me, come on. But we need to assemble ourselves together. Don't get me wrong, I still believe if you wear your mask and do the best you can do, but I believe you need to be in church this morning. Because those few weeks that even though I'd done the Sunday school from my dining room table, I still hungered to see in each and every one of your faces. I still hungered to want to be in communion with you and worship in a corporate worship with you, worship Jesus Christ together. And I honestly believe that's the reason the scripture says that we are to assemble ourselves and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. We need to encourage, uplift, and do good works. Whether you like it or not, there's people that are watching you. I used to go to the mall. You back remember when they used to, I guess they still have one down in Lexington, but it's few and far in between the malls are now. But I used to sit in the mall and sometimes Trish would go shopping and I'd sit and watch people. And you know, I just people person, I like to watch them. Well, see how this is dressed or how that is acting. And a lot of times, Lord help me, I would try to stereotype them. We all do. Come on now. But a lot of times we're wrong in our stereotyping. But we need to watch people. But I believe that if we as a Christian, we are being watched in our day-to-day activity. We are being watched. People are watching you. And I believe if someone watches you long enough, your true inside will show. Lord help us. Lord help me. But we need to be about the Father's business. How many of us, a lot of times, I'll be trying to witness to someone and then something happened that I get a little bit of righteous indignation in me and I kind of get a little bit mad. I know for a fact that it's not wrong to be mad because I just read this morning where Jesus was coming into the temple and he was angry and he looked at a fig bush and said, "You're not going to give no more food up." And they come the next day and the fig bush was withered away. But he said, anger but sin not. Sometimes we get angry. And a lot of times when we do get angry, that very person that you're trying to witness to or talk to, 9 times out of 10, they're right there watching you. God help us. Help us to be a better witness. Help us to be a better person. We find, and I'm not going to hold you long, you'll be able to get out of here early, probably earlier than any other church. You can thank me for that. Because I am not a long-winded person, but I want to share with you one more thing. Jesus was going on his way to Jairus' house. In other words, he was headed to heal Jairus' daughter, but he was interrupted. He stopped. Healing virtue went out of his body. The woman with the issue of blood was healed. But we also find out that we, as we read in Mark chapter 10, verses 46 through 52, a blind Bartimaeus. Now, blind Bartimaeus was blind, and he sat by the highway begging. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that in that day and time, they had a cloak or a covering that signified whether they were blind or they're begging, and the people need to help them out because they couldn't work or couldn't see and different things like that. That was the tradition, and they stood on the sideway on the highway begging when he heard about a man named Jesus. And I love the part that blind Bartimaeus done. Said as he heard about him and as he heard the commotion, he didn't say he was deaf. You know, a lot of times when you lose one sight or one ability, the other one is more sharpened. Like you lose your eyesight, your hearing is a whole lot better. And I believe he heard the crowd as they're coming that way. And I believe he heard people saying, "That's Jesus. That's Jesus." And no doubt, sitting on the roadside, he's probably heard different people coming by and said, "Jesus healed this person. Jesus healed that person." And he heard about Jesus, my friend. But blind Bartimaeus, I believe, and I love the way he answered it. He began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." They said, "Be quiet. Stay back there and be quiet. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." There is a significance in what he was saying. "Thou son of David." In other words, blind Bartimaeus is saying he is the Messiah. He's the one that was passed down through the lineage of David like the prophets prophesied for. That's he. That's who he is. He's the Lord of lords and the King of kings. I believe that's what he was saying. He should have held his peace, but he cried the more, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." Finally, Jesus stopped and said, "Rise. He calleth thee." And they looked back and said, "Jesus is calling you." Blind Bartimaeus, he stopped and he's wanting you to come to him. But the very important thing, and we need to be the same way. When we pray, faith believing that Jesus is going to move, we need to be like blind Bartimaeus. We need to throw that coat off. What did you mean, Brother Jeff? He throwed his coat off. In other words, he was leaving that begging status. He was leaving that blind Bartimaeus status. He was taking that off, signifying that he's not going to come back the same way. If we're not careful, we ask Jesus Christ for something in our life, but we leave that burden hanging on our shoulders. Hello this morning? We leave the problem that we've got instead of praying. And, "Oh, Brother Jeff, it's very easily said than done." Yes, it is. I agree with you. But we need to have the faith and pray that God will move and know that he's moving. It's in his time, like we said, 3 days late, but he's right on time, 4 days late. But we find out that a lot of times in the waiting period, that's when God is moving in the midst of our lives. But lo, so many times we're concerned with the pain and the anguish, and that's the human part of us, that we don't realize God's truly moving already. But we need to be ready. And Jesus told blind Bartimaeus, "Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." And immediately he gained his sight. And he didn't just say he gained his sight, but he said something else when God moved and healed on him. He said, and followed Jesus in the way. In other words, he didn't just get healed. God moved on him that he followed Jesus in the way. He knew who Jesus was, and he gave his life to Jesus Christ. I believe that. I believe we as Christians this morning, we need to follow Jesus in the way. Coming to the music. In closing, 2 Corinthians 4, chapter 1, verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. We've received mercy. God's grace and mercy is the reason we're saved, my friend. We need to faint not. We have Jesus Christ in our life. Even though we're going through trying times, like I read, and as you see the day approaching. Anybody see the day approaching?
Oh, yes.
Raise your hand if you see the day. Look around you. You ain't the only one that sees the day approaching.
Oh, yes.
My friend, it's approaching quicker than we ever realized. We are seeing Bible fulfilled as every day goes by. We're living in a society where they want to try to take a baby's life in the birth canal. I don't want to get into gruesome stuff like that, but that's the day and time we're living in.
Yes.
We as Christians, my friend, need to stand up and declare Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Regardless what the world says or whoever everybody else says, it's wrong. We believe in Jesus Christ. This is what God's word. Please stand in closing. There's so many of us that's been through things the last few months that you get so weary and downtrodden. How many of us just got plumb tired? It wears you down, don't it? It wears you down spiritually. And when you get wore down spiritually, you'll get wore down physically. And you'll so drag along that you feel like, God, I need, and that's the only way we can call upon Him. We need you to strengthen us. But in the scripture that I read you today, if you will do this, God will move without a shadow of a doubt. Hold fast. I feel God in this morning. Somebody needed this. I know one old boy needed it right here. But we need to hold fast the profession of our faith. My friend, if you don't have a profession of your faith, I invite you to come to this altar this morning. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, I beg you, you come to an altar of prayer. Ask Him to come into your life. Ask Him to strengthen you, and He will. He will lead us and guide us and direct us in everything we do. Why? Because we have His Word. And His Word tells us He will never leave us nor forsake us. My friend, He's always with us, even unto the end. And even there is no end, because when the end, we call in our end of this walk, our end of this life, we're going to go be with Him forever. Hello? What he was talking about is the end of this old carnal body walking that we do. But we will be with Him forever. There's no end in knowing Jesus Christ. His eternity. Are you ready to meet Him this day? If the Lord came this day, you've got to ask yourself, am I ready to meet Jesus Christ? Will I be left behind? That's the question you got to ask for yourself. That's the question I ask myself a lot of times. God, I want to be ready. I want my lamps filled with oil and my wicks trimmed and ready to go out and meet the bridegroom. I don't want to be like the foolish virgins that didn't have no oil in their lamp. My friend, has you got oil in your lamp this morning? Do you have Jesus Christ in your life? Is He living in your life? If He's not, I beckon you to an altar of prayer. We're getting ready to pray here. Is there anyone that maybe, Lord, I need touch this morning. I need strength. We'll pray with you this morning. We'll pray with you this morning. Come to an altar of prayer or kneel at your seat where you feel comfortable, but let's take these before the Lord and let's pray to Him this morning. Thank you this morning.